sharing my story with you in these days, this week, and the next 6 weeks. I hope you'll find it meaningful. It's not a story about this is what I was and this is what I am now. It is not a before and after story. It's a story about God's grace coming through, and we're into the moment of polio. Bombs, fishing, dad being away, and now polio. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on Good News, and I'm sharing how the gospel came to me and how it affected me. So join in and listen to the bedtime story. So life in those war years went on, and I was happy because I was ignorant, I suppose, as a little boy, most of the time anyway, ignorant of what was really going on in the terrors and horrors of Europe. Though we had the bombs, though we had the sounds of the sirens and the drone of the planes frightening us as little children. Something else happened at that time that was equally significant. And as I say significant, I haven't explained why, but I will as the story unfolds. I got contracted polio. Polio as a 1 year and 4 month old child. I think I just missed the Salk or Sabine vaccines by about a year or two, if I'm not mistaken, historically. Polio was a frightening thing then. Some people got polio, the whole of their body had to be put in an iron lung. Their lungs couldn't even move and breathe and take in air. Other people got polio in just all from their waist down. Their whole body was immobilized from the waist down. Fortunately, the polio that struck me was from my hip, my right hip, down to my foot. And so I speak of having polio, present tense, today. My right leg is thinner than my left. This didn't mean much to me as a little boy. I'm sure it just mortified my dear mum. It was a very contagious disease. Mum thought that I had a cold, and she also noticed that I kept falling over. I'd just learned to walk not too long before that, but now I was beginning to fall a little more often. She took me to the hospital, or rather to the doctor. The doctor didn't know much about what was going on. He thought I had a little cold. And as my mum was walking out of the doctor's office, a nurse came up to her. And according to my mum's account, in near tears, she said quietly, I know what your son has. And she said he has polio, which utterly shocked my mother. And of course, then I can't remember the rest of the story, but obviously further research went on, and that was the case. Immediately, I was isolated. I was taken out of my mother's arms. I was taken out of my home and put in an isolation ward of an infirmary, as we called them. And I was there for 6 months. I have never really given much thought, or hadn't for decades, about what that might have meant or the effect of that on a little child. Anyway, I was removed from my mother. Well, as a matter of fact, I do now remember when I started thinking about it. And that is when my son Christopher, in 1981, was born, and when he was a year and 4 months old. And I was holding him one day, and we were laughing and having little bits of fun. And I realized suddenly he is at the age that I was when I was taken away from my mother and put in the isolation ward. I realized how much Christopher knew about me, how much the bonding between us had taken place. And so it was a very, very significant moment and helped me to realize that something dreadful must have gone on in my emotions during that time. In fact, my mother used to come to the infirmary every day, and she wasn't allowed to hold me or even go into the room. She would simply knock on the window and try to get my attention as a little boy. Well, when I left the infirmary, I cried because I didn't want to leave the nurses. I had suddenly become bonded to them, and my mother was so incredibly upset by that, she said later, that I didn't recognize her. The two events that I've described, my father being away for all of those years while I was a little boy, and my being taken from my mother for 6 months, a long, long time in a little boy's life, those two events had profound effects upon me, I am sure, as I later tried to evaluate my life and understand it. I'll talk to you more about that as the story goes on. In spite of those things, though, and in spite of the bombs dropping and the drone of the aircraft and the sirens, in spite of the little fearful comments that my mother would whisper to someone else, I was a happy boy, very content and very assertive and very playful with everyone else, until about the age of 8. I can remember, almost to the day, being suddenly ashamed of my polio leg. I remember my mother took me to a masseur twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday evening, for 10 years, can you imagine? Twice a week for 10 years, where an electrical massaging machine would be put on my leg, and he would the masseur would massage my leg. And I remember when I first went there, just feeling so embarrassed. My pants would be off. I suppose I had my underpants on, but he would examine the leg and see where it was thin and all the rest of it. And I can remember the sheer embarrassment of that. I held on to my little watch. I was 8 years old. And he said, "Put your watch down. I won't take it away." And I found that a humiliating moment. Isn't it strange how kids pick up strange little comments and misinterpret them? The worst one, though, was when I had to be taken to the hospital every year. We would go once a year for the doctors to monitor the progress of the polio. I had a caliper, a brace, as we call it over here, that was from my hip right down to my foot for the first few years, so that I sort of, you know, hauled my leg along. I couldn't bend it at the knee. And the doctors would have me take the caliper off, the brace off, have my parents take that off, and they would examine how I walked. They would observe how I walked along without that brace. I remember the times when it was so tedious and long waiting for the doctors to turn up. We seemed to be there from 9 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, if I recall, on some occasions. I remember, too, of how impersonal the doctors seemed. They never talked to me. They talked to my parents about me. It just seemed to me that they were distant and fearful, frightening. I was gathering an impression of men, army men, Nazis, and people doing bad things to people during the war. And now the doctors, I was getting an impression of everyone being dangerous to me. Then one time when my mother and father had taken me to the doctors, to the hospital for this annual checkup, my dad, I can remember bending over to me and saying, "Son, they just want you to go into this other room." And I couldn't remember any more than that statement. I can't remember any more than that statement. But I walked in, and what did I see but a whole theater of 40 or so student doctors. I can't remember that it was 40, but it seemed, as I look back on it, that that must have been the amount of men in that theater. And there I was, in my shirt, no underpants and no pants, and they asked me to get onto this table, an 8-year-old boy, and the doctor, the surgeon, was describing the nature of polio to these 40 student doctors. He would lift up my leg, and I would be careful to tuck my shirt in between my legs, and he would show the various contortions that I could do with this leg and the various deformities of it. I remember at that moment thinking to my little self, I wish I could disappear. I really wanted to disappear into a hole. It was so embarrassing to me, though I could not at that time determine what that or identify what that emotion was. Just a lot of discomfort. These strange things led to strange dreams. I dreamt about falling down little holes. I mean, I remember walking across a bridge as we were going to the seaside one day, and my mom was holding my hand, but I saw these little holes, these drainage holes in the top of the bridge, only little holes not bigger than a half inch, I suppose, and I had this fear, this paranoia of falling down that little hole. How absurd and strange in a child's mind. And then I had dreams. I remember a recurrent nightmare. I would be walking to school from my house. My school was not more than a quarter of a mile away, I suppose. And I'd be walking along the street, and the street was totally isolated. There was no one in the street at all. And I remember the sheer cleanness and conformity and uniformity of the street. And there was a fence to each house and a hedge and a well carefully groomed hedge, and out of every hedge appeared a sunflower. Don't ask me to explain this, I cannot understand it. But it was eerily, I should say, uniform, eerily perfect, eerily clean, and isolated. And then, as I'm nearing school, I walk into a whale's mouth. And then I wake up screaming. And that's how it was in those days. Somehow, the war years, the absent father, the fact of being taken away from my mother with polio, all contributed to a state of inner fear, even though I was a bold child. And my neighbors testified to that later, how I did so many things to keep up with the other kids in the neighborhood. The details of the story that I'm telling you may not seem significant to you right now, but you know, they are enormously significant as this story expands. Because the things like my absent father, and the war years and the bombs dropping, and then my being taken from my mother, created a state of mind, and you remember that dream, walking down that street, clean and perfect, uniform with those sunflowers at every few yards or so, and then walking into a whale's mouth. All of those events led to a perfectionism that later on in my Christian life emerged. You know, legalism and perfectionism do not simply emerge out of a false and dangerous theology. They rise out of a disturbed and troubled mind that then latches on to that dangerous theology. We believe in false ways not simply because we take wrong verses out of the Bible and misinterpret them. We believe and misinterpret them because they appeal to the distortions already existing in our minds. How amazing that Jesus breaks in and unwinds all that for us. I won't say he unwinds it perfectly, but he unwinds it in a way that helps us to live and to have peace and a little bit of joy. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.